We'll call the Committee of Whole, call the order of the Committee of Whole meeting. Everybody take their seats and we'll start with a disclosure of pecuniary interest and general nature of. And none said, I will declare a conflict on under Finance and Administration number 5. At which time I'll ask Mayor Lowry to come up and chair it, and I'll step out for that part. Could I get a mover and a seconder to approve the agenda? Mayor Lowry, Councillor Ferguson, all in favor? Carried. Could I get a mover and seconder to approve the minutes? Mayor Lowry, Councillor Holmes, all in favor? Carried. Consent reports. CAO report and the 2019 FOI summary report. Can I get a mover and seconder? Councillor Ferguson, Deputy Mayor Minnelli. Discussion? Councillor Maiden?
Couple of questions on the CAO report. I'm thinking some of the dates might be wrong because they're talking to the quarter four and so forth. I thought that some of those things were done already in 2019. But
some may be a little bit of a carryover.
Okay.
In terms of, I guess we're better than we thought. Some of them are already done.
Okay. And I'm also wanting to request a under the community official plan, the growth strategy land evaluation area review says completed, but I was wondering if we could get an update on that.
Do you want to provide an update?
I can. So the original deliverable that came with the community official plan, and the reason it was in this table, was to ensure that we did indeed pass and approve OPA 21. That is complete. I'm not sure how the LEER ended up in here, nor why it's denoted as complete. I can tell you that despite the fact that our local council passed our plan and that the county approved the plan has been appealed, which in essence means that any decision making under the OPA 21 is frozen. That plan does not come into force and effect until there's a decision of LPAT. So until that happens, we will continue to operate under the original official plan adopted in 2006.
Okay, thank you. And to the chair, under filming policy, I think that was referred to the Economic Development Committee. And here it's saying that there's Valley Heartland involvement in it and a completion in quarter four, which would be like October to December. And I'm wondering if what's the holdup?
I think it's still moving slow, but there is Valley Heartland involvement. But Tiffany McLaren is here, and I think she can speak to the exact status of that one.
Just Valley Heartland held a meeting in Q4 of Perth and neighboring municipalities that were all involved in a film, looking at film policies at the same time. So that was just sort of a meeting of the minds to discuss it. Actually, we were the most experienced with having actually had the most films to talk about. Really, we didn't learn a lot from them. The committee has a working committee that is working on it, and we've since developed a survey that we want to give out to the public to ask for input for the filming policy. And so I'm just working with the clerk as to how to best to get your approval on the survey before it's announced, released to the public, because it may come as a staff report to a meeting, like to the next meeting, because the survey is sort of ready to go, but we want council to see it before it goes out, just to get your approval on it. But we are working away at it. It's just been kind of slow, that's all. Committee, it's volunteer committee members.
Q4 may not be an unrealistic timeline for you to actually see a policy on this, okay?
But yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
And then on the Freedom of Information Summary Report. I'm wondering if in future we could get a statistics on the number of appeals of those reports, you know, year by year. That was it.
I could say that this year we did not receive any appeals, and all our previous appeals that went through the IPC, which is the Information Privacy Commissioner, were all finalized within the year as well. So there's none outstanding currently.
Any further discussion? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. On the FOI summary, on page 16, under the note, I see there's 115 staff hours, and there's only 23.5 that are chargeable. Is that mandated, or is that just our own goodwill? Or?
So the legislation, the MFIPA, is fairly narrow on what we can charge the requester in terms of staff time. That includes the time it takes me to redact any confidential information, the time it takes to search and pull those records. However, the majority of my time is spent coordinating with third parties whose information is being released, researching what the exemptions may or may not apply, coordinating with the requester if they need to clarify or narrow their request. Any things like that do not get charged and are not allowed to be charged to the requester, and that is the vast majority of staff time that goes into processing these requests.
Good, thank you.
Councillor Gerard.
Thank you, through the chair, to the clerk. This is actually just a typo. The number 7 on page 15, it says 2018-2018.
Okay. Further discussion? All in favor to receive these two reports? Carried. We have two committee slash board minutes to receive, accessibility and community of adjustment. I have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, Mayor Lowry, discussion. All in favor to receive these two sets of minutes? Carried. We'll move on to staff reports, fire department. Volunteer firefighter enumeration criteria. I need a mover and a seconder, please. Mayor Lowry, Councillor Maiden, discussion. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. So through the chair, I just wanted to ask, on page 26, public education and fire prevention activities, I just caught that first sentence. I'm wondering if there's something left out of it. I should have asked earlier and I forgot. It says public and fire safety education events are performed, and then it says firefighters and staff. So I'm thinking there's something left out of it. Oh, just a bye. Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor of this recommendation? Carried. Recreation and culture. Road closure request, Fat Man Production Services. Mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Ferguson, discussion. All in favor? Carried. Roads and Public Works, 2020 Wild Parsnip Management Plan. Mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Maiden, discussion. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. So through the chair, I'm wondering if we could determine what was the methodology or process to determine the level of infestations on the various roads to the Public Works Department.
Hi, through the chair. So we went off of our summer student. They have a program when they start in May. We have them go out and they assess all of the areas that have been either sprayed or not. And this year, I believe, there was a new GIS system that they used. And then what's called dashboard. It's implemented into the GIS, and then it shows heavy, mild, light, if it is there, if it's not. So that's it. We based our information that we received from that on this year's program.
Councillor Holmes.
So just to clarify, so we use the information from last year for this year?
The roads, yeah. So we do an assessment of what had been completed.
Councillor Maiden.
I noticed that it says that the treatment at the county resulted in well, parsnip has decreased 85% from 2015. Do we have any data on what the situation is in Mississippi Mills specifically through the chair to the environmental officer?
Through the chair. So we are working on that now. It was referred just their program when they had started in 2015. They had started with their boom spraying program. They now are majority spot, something that we have followed. And we're hoping for this year that we'll have a good benchmark to actually be able to go off of it and be able to provide that information with actual statistics.
Mayor Lowry's next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. I have a couple questions for the environmental compliance coordinator through the chair. One is, I'm wondering if you have any comment on continuing on the pollinator program that we had with the native wild seed. Maybe I'll just give you all three of them because they're all fairly interconnected. You and I had a bit of a conversation about the mayor's pledge, which is, I believe, Lanark County was the first to take that pledge, and it's regarding, for those at the table, it's regarding taking actions. You commit to taking three actions to help sustain and encourage monarchs. And I'm wondering if you have any comments on that, if integrating this into our plan is doable, you think, in this year. And then my third question is, we had also had a bit of a conversation about having an integrative vegetation management plan, similar to how the county has in place. I understand that the cost for the county's program was $8,000 or $9,000. It wasn't a lot of money, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are in putting a similar plan in place, or if we were to adopt their plan, if you think that might be something we could do.
Through the chair.
Large 3-point question.
That's okay. So we'll start with, I believe you were mentioning the native.
Sorry. Yeah, we had, I think it was a kilometer of seed that that we had worked with a group, mm-hmm. a community group. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what your thoughts were in continuing the project or doing the project in a different way, mm-hmm. you know, involving mm-hmm. more groups, something like that.
Yeah. So absolutely, the success of it was, more positive than not, obviously. We would definitely consider continuing with it. We received... I'm not sure how much, but it was a county mix of seed that we received. And touching on your mayor's pledge, certainly integrating it into this year's program and for consideration is something we will absolutely do. It's something that the county has been doing, and just going off of what their success has been, with it, I'd have to follow up with their public works, but certainly I can, if that's something that you would like, I can do that as well. And the last one with integrated vegetation management plan, certainly that is again something that we can follow up if that's something that council would like us to do with either creating our own, which would come with financial implications. it would probably be about a little bit less. Theirs did come to around $9,000. So it would be, I'd have to find out how much it would cost us, but I can certainly look into it. And I don't believe it would be as extensive, but again, it's something that we can implement for this year if that's something that council would like us to consider. Thank you.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Councillor Holmes, Councillor Maiden.
Thank you. I've had some concerns about people phoning me about the quantity of wild parsnips and if it's high density, medium density, or low density. And most of the people that live on the roads and are looking for that, say some of them are low density and they're still up to be boom sprayed. So I hope at the meeting at the for Agriculture Committee is at 12:30 tomorrow, I think. Is it?
At noon.
At noon? 12 noon? I hope things will be able to be changed around a little bit or have an in-depth discussion about quantities, boom spraying versus spot spraying, and a couple other things. So that's all I have to say.
So just for clarification, the meeting's at noon on Thursday?
Noon on Thursday. Okay. At the pub. No. Sorry.
Any comments on that?
I'll just, through the chair, I'll just speak to that. Yes, I'll be there. It is at 12:30 in the Ramsey Room on Thursday the 30th. I am available to discuss, to collaborate, any information that you want to bring. Absolutely. This plan is not set in stone. Certainly we welcome all comments, questions, inquiries. If there is, we will be continuing with the opt-out and the adopt-a-road. So certainly if that is something that anybody is considering, they can. And if roads, if they're wanting to remove roads, certainly that's, again, something that can be considered as well.
Okay. Councillor Holmes.
So through the chair, just to clarify, last year there seemed to be some confusion around cut lawns that were cut right up to the roadside and flower beds. And can we just clarify, are they automatically exempt from spraying?
Through the chair, no, they're not. They do have to opt out of the program.
So we need to make that very clear then whenever the notice goes out that even if you have a cut lawn, you'll have to do the opt-out. And I'm just wondering, is that the policy that the county also follows?
I will have to follow up with the county to confirm.
Okay. Councillor Maiden.
I wanted to appreciate that the letter that the Friends of Philander County wrote to us suggesting that they wanted to be consulted on alternative methods, I guess, to spraying. And in the report it says that they will be consulted, just to kind of remind them. And also that the Agricultural Committee, I think, had concerns about organic farming in the area, and that it should probably, those organic farms whose livelihood depends on non-spraying need to be identified on the map. And I'd appreciate seeing that as sort of like zones of restricted zones or whatever for spraying.
Councillor Holmes.
Just to clarify for Councillor Maiden, that's the main thrust of our meeting on Thursday, is to identify those organic farms and to look at alternatives for them.
Okay. Any further discussion on this item? Sorry, Councillor Girard.
Thank you, through the chair. Would we be able to, because I believe what I've read, Lanark County does have a grooming policy, which Councillor Holmes was referring to, that they don't actually spray property that is being maintained. Could we verify that and possibly include that in our own information?
Director?
Through the chair, just one area of concern with that is that last year there was a little bit of both occurring, but not based on municipal direction. It was confusion on the part of the driver, where he sprayed one that was groomed, and then he turned around and didn't spray one that was groomed, and the person who he did not spray wanted it sprayed, and the person that he did spray didn't want it sprayed. So it's not always the case that just because somebody has mowed their lawn to keep the wall parsnip under the control for until we got there, that they don't want their lawn sprayed. Obviously, the one area where the driver sprayed the flower beds was obviously an error on their part, and certainly the flower beds of that nature shouldn't have been sprayed. But just because somebody cuts it, two things. One is we don't know for sure that they don't want us to spray. Two is we have no idea whether they'll continue to mow our right-of-way for the duration of the season, and wild parsnip, even though it might be cut in early June, will grow again and flower later in the summer. So that is why we've always taken the position that if you want to opt out, it's a very simple process, and please contact us, and we'll get the agreement made up, and we won't spray that area.
Okay, Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if we can add some staff direction regarding those three items I had brought up earlier, so that staff could bring back information for council to consider regarding continuing on with that pollinator seed mix, the mayor's pledge options, and then the integrated vegetation management plan, so that we could have fulsome discussion on those three items. Okay. Sure. I mean, if that's okay.
Can you move that amendment?
So can I move an amendment then to also have staff look at those three items that I had identified, the pollinator, native seed mix, bring back information on the mayor's pledge, and also on the integrated vegetation management plan.
Can I get a seconder on that amendment? Deputy Mayor Minnelli, discussion. Councillor Holmes.
I'm wondering that which could be added to that staff direction to also contact the county in regard to their policy around spraying mowing lawns and flower beds and their process for ensuring that they're not done.
Okay. So an amendment to the amendment?
That's
or just include it.
Want to add that? I'm fine with that.
Okay.
If the deputy mayor is fine with that.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Any discussion on this amendment? All in favor of this amendment? It's carried. Any more discussion on this recommendation? All in favor of this recommendation? That's carried. Moving along to finance and admin, 2020 budget. Mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Ferguson, discussion. Councillor Maiden.
I just wanted to make a note on the cost sharing agreements. It's my understanding that a meeting was held recently, and we're kind of looking into that a little bit deeper. So I noticed that the treasurer has put in, you know, the increase of Carlton Place, but to just for council and staff's information as well, the library board was also looking into that, and will probably be sending some recommendations to council about that as well.
Treasurer, do you want to add anything to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, it was my understanding that cost sharing agreement was still being discussed in those amounts, and I understand there was a request made to Carleton Place, and I actually followed up with the treasurer there to provide more detailed information on as to how they arrived at the budget that they have set and then our allocations. So I'm still waiting on that information.
Further discussion? Councillor Girard.
Actually, two things through the chair to the treasurer. Would there be also conversation with regards to the fact that Carleton Place has possibly 500 new houses going in this year? Does that going to, because of the waiting due to the proximity of Carleton Place, does that will that not change to the betterment of Mississippi Mills? How much we're paying instead of going up, should we not be actually staying equal? Does that make sense? Like it's based on proximity to Carleton Place and the usage. And Carleton Place is going to be using, a lot more residents of Carleton Place are going to be using the Howard Allen agreement than Mississippi Mills is going to be. Does that play into, or should it play into?
Can you comment on that?
Sure, thank you. So the cost sharing agreement, you're right, is based on assessment, and it's based on assessment on our end in a particular catchment area, and then of course Carleton Place and Backwoods assessment. They are growing, and as are we, but it does sometimes take the assessment office a couple of years for that assessment to actually hit the tax roll, and that is the 2020 roll is what they have been using for the current calculation. So at this point in time, without seeing the more detailed information, I can't answer whether their growth has been captured versus ours. You know, so I have to wait to get some further information from them.
Okay. Can I, second one?
Yes.
I would actually, through the chair to the Director of Public Works, some of the information that we've received, I'm curious, are the numbers that are being used actual numbers of residents, or are they just projected numbers of residents?
Through the chair, we're not dealing with a recent census. We're dealing with a census that was done some time ago, as well as building starts that have occurred since that time. And we estimate a density of persons per unit based on the housing type. That is what our consultants use to show what our actual population is at this point in time or thereabouts. It's a close approximation based on statistics.
Do you have another question?
Yeah, actually the same through to the chair, to the Director of Public Works. So with the J.L. Richards report, which I was breezing through, it actually says that the projected numbers that you're quoting are from, or will it be, as per the report, for 2026. So I'm just curious if at any point can you give us the numbers that are actually being suggested as for the population at this time?
Through the chair, as per my previous discussion at the table, council table, based on our building starts and the existing population when we did the review of the building starts, we're estimating a population around the 6,000 person mark in Almont. This does not factor in any population equivalents that's given to commercial, institutional, industrial type facilities that would be added in over top of that. And as I pointed out in the last session of council, when I had the tables up on the screen, we are already, you know, the 6,000 equivalent population mark, which this isn't. We're actually saying it's, we've got 6,000 people in Elmont. So the number is actually higher if you look at the equivalent population. We're already there. So the requirement for the additional storage, we've met that threshold. This also doesn't factor in, obviously, any growth that occurs between now and the time that the reservoir is actually constructed and commissioned. So this was pointed out to us through the master plan update back in 2017, at which time I immediately brought forward a report to council to go into an environmental assessment for the water reservoir in 2018, subsequent to the completion of, we went straight into detailed design because it we knew that this shortfall was coming. And just the population growth that we've had in the last few years have just pushed that even further ahead than what we thought we would be at. So as I mentioned, it's no longer projections. We've surpassed our threshold. We need to get this storage in place.
Okay. Any further discussion on this item? So the recommendation that the Committee of the Whole recommends that Council approve the 2020 budget as amended. All in favor? Carried. So number five, professional fees. I'm going to step away from the chair at this point. Ask Mayor Lowry to come over and yell at me when you're done, please.
Okay, so the recommendation is that the Committee of the Whole recommend to Council the bylaw 14-20 be amended to pay 100% of the professional fees for all staff. Is there a mover and seconder for the recommendation? Councillor Maiden and Councillor Holmes.
Sure. So this basically came about, you'll notice in the report that we do list off a number of professional and municipal organizations that currently staff have memberships in, and the policy as currently is written is above on page 50, and it basically says that department heads will receive one professional association and they'll receive it at 100%, so full rate. Support staff shall receive 50% of the payment. Oftentimes we're talking about the same professional membership, and we've made the choice to pay it for the more senior members, obviously the people at the higher pay grade, yet the ones that are support staff who are potentially at the lower pay grade, we say that they should cover part of their fee structure. It's the same thing. But it's more impactful on the support staff than it is on the department heads. If anything, it should probably be reversed. Not advocating that, but I'm just saying, if anything, it should probably be reversed. In this situation, when we did actually start looking at the way staff were treated on this, one issue was particularly brought up, but then as we broadened it out, we found that in particular the ECE staff, which are basically the daycare staff, so the early childhood educators, they have a certification that they hold through the College of ECE. It's $150 per year, and we were actually asking them to pay 50% of their fee. That didn't seem to be in keeping with, say, the spirit of what we're trying to do, which is promote people's certifications, having trained people, in particular in our daycare operations. So the recommendation is to pay for 100% of all. The cost on a financial basis, on an annual basis, is about $1,750. The majority of the people who are going to benefit from this are the ECE staff in the daycare operations. So I think it's a well deserved benefit and a well deserved opportunity for them, and I hope you'll consider it for what it is, which is basically leveling the playing field for all staff.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Any comments or questions on the recommendation? Okay, seeing not, all those in favor? Thank you. That carries. Come on back, Councillor Dalgety. Maybe he's gone too far.
Municipal Drainage Works. Mover and a seconder, please. Mayor Lowry, Councillor Holmes. Discussion? Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
So I went and looked at this drain when Rod Cameron was still here, and it's in Blakeney. And it, the problem was if the drain, it would have took about 60 feet of digging to go the one way to the river, so they're just going to divert the drain and come around and try to get it where they can dig without using a box to support the sides and everything. So it's pretty straightforward. So just if anybody didn't know, and okay. It goes down into the Mississippi River there.
Thank you. Councillor Dryden.
Through the chair to the CAO. Have we ever looked at or considered using the same program that Beckwith does, where they actually hired a company that looks after all the drainage from start to finish? They actually go in when there are issues. They have staff that are trained and able to do the negotiations instead of having it as a two-part. They actually maintain and do all of the drainage information.
Well, to my knowledge, since I've been here, we haven't engaged in that study. We will look into that. We'll reach out to Beckwith and understand what they're doing. But I think the caveat here, when we talk about municipal drains as well for people in the gallery, even though the municipality may be the facilitator of the work, the work is actually paid for by the benefiting landowners, of which the municipality may be one or may not be one. So what ends up happening is there's, and part of this report is an engineer's report, and they actually go through assessing who's benefiting from the drain, and they allocate the costs over the property owners. So there's a benefiting area for this. So when we talk about, in this case, even though Deputy Mayor Minnelli said, you know, there is a solution to this, we do have to have an engineered solution to this. And when we look at it, we want to bring that cost back to the homeowners. And I would imagine that Beckwith, even though they may have a company that's doing, say, the actual work, it's still the property owner that has to pay for it. So the benefiting group is still going to be those landowners, and they still end up sharing in the costs. So for instance, if one of these drainage works is a $10,000, $15,000 or $20,000 maintenance item, those property owners will pay for that. If the municipality happens to be a partial owner or benefiter of that, then we'll pay our share. I believe the information is there in the report in terms of some of the allocations. And the majority of the cost in this particular drain would actually be ascribed to the homeowner or the property owners in that area. So this report is basically, we're going to get some quotes for the engineer to come in, and then we're going to re-engage with that group of people, particularly the one owner who is the majority landowner, would pay the majority of the cost to say, you know, is this what you want? So, you know, I think we can, yes, we'll explore Beckwith, we'll look at those costs, but I think the important part here is, at the end of the day, the property owners are the ones that pay the costs for this. So it's important to know that, you know, sometimes the work doesn't get done. It's not just because the municipality says, we don't want to do it. You know, we're not just being difficult. The property owners also have to, you know, they deserve the ability to have some say into whether the work proceeds or not.
Any more discussion, Councillor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. Well, I think as we can see, this is not a new drain. It's been around for a long time. And if you look on page 65, you can see where even the people that were under the percentages at that time have changed. So it's significant, I think, that it be brought forward, because even reading it through, the drainage outlets have changed significantly from 7-inch now to something that's more demanding, obviously. So I think it's very appropriate that this be looked at this time. It's been a long while.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor of this recommendation? It's carried. Number 7, award of request for proposal for redesign of the municipal website, page 66. Mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Maiden, Mayor Lowry, discussion. Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Well, not being a website designer by any stretch of the imagination, does it also include maintenance? And certainly 8 years, I am assuming, is a fairly lengthy time to go without reviewing a website, and I don't know. But does that include ongoing maintenance, or is it a separate contract specifically for that?
Madam Clerk.
So the winning proponent does include ongoing maintenance. That was one of the requirements established in the RFP. Some of the submissions varied in costs. The maintenance would be above and beyond what the initial build out of that website would be. However, they are fairly marginal.
Councillor Maiden.
I just want to congratulate Madam Clerk on all the work that went into this and really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Did you want to add anything? Okay. Okay. All in favor of this recommendation? It's carried. We do not have a notice of motion tonight. The next item is our mayor's report. Councillor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Councillor Lowry, sorry. Mayor Lowry.
Whatever. It's all good. Getting late enough, I'll answer to anything. So really the only item in my mayor's report is a bit of a synopsis of the Roma conference that I was at, I guess, a week and change ago. I have checked actually that link, and some of the presentations are online now. So if there's something there that's interesting to you, there may be presentations. They're not all up yet. It was an interesting conference. There wasn't a lot of new announcements made, unlike the conference last year that Councillor Girard and Councillor Holmes attended with me. There was a lot of restatements of announcements that have occurred in the fall or in December. One thing I would underline, and I think everyone has gotten the emails about it as well, although it seemed a little bit off the cuff, Minister Urich had indicated that there's going to be further consultations regarding Bill 108 and specifically about conservation authorities, and that consultation would be occurring between stakeholders, conservation authorities, municipalities, whatnot. And it was kind of odd because he had said something about, I guess everybody's invited now. So I'm not sure if they were meaning to do such a wide consultation, but I think everyone is seeing the invitations now. I think the RSVP has passed, but I'm sure they'd be flexible on that if anyone was wishing to go. So the consultation he was referring to would be in Peterborough on February 7th. I think that's a Friday. Best guess is that the regulations that's referring to are probably pushed back a little bit further. If there's any questions to any of those announcements that were made and whatnot, or any about the information sessions, there was only three sessions and a lot of material, so I obviously wasn't able to go to each one of these, but if there is anything I can answer to anyone, there's any curiosities, I would do my best to do that. And if not, that's all right too.
Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. I'm interested in what Premier Ford had to say, and we have spoken about this, the mayor and I have spoken about it, in reference to we're coming back to the broadband pilot in rural communities, how they're going to throw all kinds of money at it and everything else. And my concern is, where do we stand now? We have a very active group. We're a very active group in M2020. And now that appeared to, with the survey, address some concerns that the timing was going to be very appropriate for us. Now it appears it's back to maybe the 3 or 5 year time frame. So I wonder if there's any expansion on that. And I know you've had discussion with Bell Canada specifically to it, but I don't know what the response has been, if anything, yet. But that one always bothers me, and they say there's all kinds of millions of dollars. It's either sitting there, but certainly we're not seeing it in rural, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you, Councillor Ferguson. There wasn't any new money discussed. It was the same envelopes of money that was, I guess you could say, re-announced at Roma. I did attend a session specifically on broadband, and I don't think I would be exaggerating to say it was a little bit demoralizing. There was definitely an underline on the importance of partnerships, and certainly, how could I say this? There was an expectation, I would almost say, that municipalities need to be involved. Now, does that mean Mississippi Mills? Does that mean, you know, the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus? There's certainly an expectation that municipalities would be involved in those partnerships. Now, we are. The Lanark County has on our behalf, they're involved with the projects with the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus. But where that takes us, I'm not sure what to tell you. Bell does have a new product out, and I've been hesitant to share that broadly. Not that it's not good information, but any of the addresses I've gone in and typed on, their addresses where there's decent internet already. It's not getting into the really rural areas. So I would guess that the companies are going after the low-hanging fruit and the places where they can improve, and the places that are a little bit more challenging. I think it's going to be it looks like it might be challenging yet for some time, but I'm hoping I'm wrong on that. And there is some interesting projects coming up. Cogeco has been talking to each of the municipalities in Lanark County, including the Highlands and us. There was a gentleman who reached out to me who used to work with a company that we dealt with, and he has an interesting project coming forward specifically for Lanark County. So not to say it's all doom and gloom, but I can't say this is what's happening by this time, you know, and it's going to solve the problems that we're experiencing in rural Mississippi Mills. But it wasn't as encouraging, to be frank. It wasn't as encouraging as it was last year with the big announcements.
Any more comments or questions on the mayor's report? We move on to the county councillor's report. Mayor Lowry.
It's me too. Well, my computer just went to sleep here, just a sec. There actually is not a lot to report this week. There was three decisions made at council. Those are outlined there. I had spoken about those at our previous meeting. So regarding the Lanark Lodge redevelopment, modernization funding allocation, and the climate action plan. On the committee side, at our last meeting, there was two presentations. One was from the Rideau Valley and Mississippi Valley Conservation Authorities regarding the upcoming consultations, and there was quite a good discussion around the table. There is concerns that the direction that the ministry is taking at this time, that they are consulting on requiring each individual municipality to sign a memorandum of understanding to take on certain services, or to request, I should say, the services of the CAs. There's a concern that that's increasing red tape, and the province has certainly made themselves to be a government that's about reduction of red tape. So there is a concern there. And there was a concern, I would say, too, around the table of if individual municipalities are signing memorandums of understanding, but it's regarding a watershed system, it's hard to do that if there's sort of a toothy gap approach and every other municipality is involved. So that was, I think, the takeaway from that presentation. And the other presentation that's certainly noteworthy was regarding the Rural Recreation Association, which Richard Kidd, who was here earlier, is the co-chair of. And actually, I was thinking of you, Councillor Dalgety. I thought it might be something you'd be really interested in. They're quite an interesting association. They were sort of under the umbrella of the Healthy Communities project out of the public health units. And it's really about mental health, physical health, the economic benefits of recreation and leisure services. And they will be having, I think it is their AGM in April. And it'll be in Beckwith. And it seemed like something that we probably could learn from. It's a regional association, and sometimes it's staff, sometimes it's council members, sometimes it's association members themselves, but it sounds like a really interesting group, and certainly we could gather more information from Warden Kidd. Reeve Kidd, excuse me. He's no longer the warden.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments on the county councillor's report? Councillor Maiden.
Just under the modernization funding, there's a one-year consulting services for long-term care. I'm just wondering what they're doing with that. Like,
so it's regarding the Lanark Lodge, and I questioned this one when it first was up for discussion at committee level. Staff feels that there is, and no doubt there is, opportunities for efficiencies, better ways of doing reporting. There's a lot of reporting that they have to do, so they felt that there would be opportunities to become a little more efficient that way. We're likely building a new facility by 2025, 2026, something in that ballpark. So I questioned whether it made sense to be putting that effort into systems that no doubt can be improved, but to what end? I'm not sure if we would get that $100,000 back in efficiency savings, but that was the decision of County Council, which I don't believe you supported either. I didn't support. Yeah, neither of us supported this funding allocation.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure.
Any further questions or comments? Okay. We do not have an MVCA report this evening. Information list. Can I get a mover and seconder to receive the information list? Councillor Holmes, Councillor Maiden. Discussion. Councillor Holmes.
I'd like to pull item number 6, the Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs, the input into the drainage act, and perhaps suggest that at our next COW meeting that we refer to the IECA committee for some examination.
Okay. So that's just pulled? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more discussion? Mayor Lowry?
I'm having some problems here. Thank you. I just wanted to
highlight number 2, the item from the Solicitor General, and we don't need to pull it, but I just wanted to highlight to everyone that we have received the follow-up with the timings and whatnot, and just to make sure it's circulated. And if there's people who are wanting to be involved in that consultation, we would need to let the Solicitor General know soon.
No further discussion. All in favor to receive the information list? It's carried. Meeting calendars, any additions or corrections? None said. We have no other or new business. Pending list, any comments or questions on the pending list? Councillor Maiden.
I think I already said when the planner was here, you know, asking for a bit of an update on the official plan, the quarterly updates, invitations sent to come up. They've already done that, but to get an update on the more of a written update, she gave us a bit of a verbal one, but just to follow up on that.
Okay, our planner is still here.
Oh, are you?
Happy to provide a written update. You're looking for quarterly? Yeah, that's fine. We can do that.
Thank you. Anything else? Can I get a mover and seconder for adjournment, please? Councillor Dryard, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, all in favor? We are adjourned. Thank you.